In early January, Somalia's interim government troops enter the capital after defeating Islamist fighters in a string of battles and sending their leaders fleeing for their lives. Retaking Mogadishu from the Islamists was critical for the interim government, which was formed more than 2 years ago, but has had no power to legislate or to move beyond its base in Baidoa, 250 kilometers away. Several sources in Mogadishu tell VOA the interim government has so little grassroots support here, it would have been nearly impossible for the government to establish itself in the capital without the military backing of regional giant Ethiopia. One source, who wishes to be identified only as Ibrahim, says the government's close ties with a country many Somalis dislike and distrust have only deepened the government's unpopularity.
The transitional federal government has never been in Mogadishu before now, and it came by the assistance of Ethiopia, a historical enemy. People feel you as a puppet for Ethiopians, and this is only losing their credibility with citizens.
It is less than an ideal beginning for the interim government, which has received international recognition but has struggled to shed its reputation as a fragile and weak institution. That is because Somalia's transitional federal government, formed in 2004 in neighboring Kenya, is largely made up of the same factional leaders who began the country's crippling civil war in 1991 by overthrowing Somalia's dictator, Mohamed Siad Barre, and carving up the country into personal fiefdoms. Squabbling among the factional leaders doomed more than a dozen other previous attempts to bring the warring sides together. But this time, international and regional diplomats were determined to end Somalia's political anarchy and push the warlords to cooperate in forming a transitional government. In October 2004, newly appointed parliament members elected then-70-year-old factional leader Abdullahi Yusuf as president. Mr. Yusuf is a former military officer from the semi-autonomous Somali region of Puntland, whose forces helped Ethiopia crush a militant Somali national group called Al-Ittihad al-Islamiyah in the early 1990s. From 1998 to 2001, Mr. Yusuf served as president of Puntland and remained a close ally of Addis Ababa. To partly demonstrate inclusiveness in the new Somali government, Mr. Yusuf, who is a member of the Darod clan, appointed a member of the rival Hawiya clan as interim prime minister. Prime Minister Ali Mohamed Gedi hails from the Mogadishu area, where the Hawiya clan dominates. The former veterinarian has repeatedly pledged to keep factional differences from hindering the work of the transitional government. But now that the government is in the capital, long-established clan divisions are again proving to be formidable obstacles. According to Mogadishu resident Ibrahim and several other sources, Prime Minister Gedi's Hawiya clan, whose members form the core of the ousted Islamic courts and is the clan of many members of the interim government, is deeply unhappy that thousands of government troops, most of whom belong to President Yusuf's Darod clan, are securing the capital. Ibrahim says when Prime Minister Gedi recently ordered the city to disarm, Hawiya clan members that included several factional leaders in the government initially refused because they feared the Darod clan could end up with most of their weapons.
He has Hawiyas who are against his policies. They said, if we just transfer the weapons to the government, then doesn't that mean, you know, disempowering ourselves and empowering other clans? That's the fear and concern in Mogadishu.
Further complicating the issue is the fact that every clan is subdivided into many smaller clans, and each one has its own ideas about how things should progress in Somalia. Somali journalist Mohamed Gura warns that clan tensions are threatening not only to undermine the government's ability to function, but also to cause enough instability and chaos to provide an opportunity for radical Islamists to regroup and attempt a comeback.
If they marginalize the Hawiya clan, he will be like Sunni in Iraq. Everything depends on how the international community understands this and act.
Another Somali journalist in Mogadishu, Mohamed Ibrahim Mohamed, adds the influence and powers of clans in Somali society cannot be underestimated.
We like to forget the problems of the clan and the sub-clan and sub-clan. But we cannot. When we become a failed state, the only system we had was the clan.
In the past week, Somali experts have called for the West, particularly the United States, to formulate a comprehensive policy on Somalia that is not based solely on counterterrorism. But in Somalia's dizzying political environment, Somalis acknowledge that that will be an enormously difficult task. Alicia Root, VOA News, Mogadishu.